Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories, discussions, and debates from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with my co-host, Mike.
Hey, everyone. It is great to be here.
Today is Thursday, August 13th, 2026, which means we are diving into the top stories from yesterday, August 12th. And this is a special one, folks, episode number 486. We have got a really packed show today. We are looking at a fascinating postmortem from Tailscale about a 16-year-old SQLite bug, a provocative piece on how AI might be hollowing out the middle class of software engineering, a deep dive into the Fourth Amendment and license plate readers, and of course, because it is 2026, we have not one, but two massive AI model drops to talk about, with DeepSeek V4 Pro and Qwen 3.8.
Yeah, it was a heavy news day yesterday. I want to jump right into that Tailscale story because it was at the very top of Hacker News with almost 900 points. The title is Tailscale Traces Database Corruption to 16-year-old SQLite Wall Reset Bug. And Sarah, as an engineering story, this is basically a detective thriller.
It really is. So to set the stage, late last year and into early this year, Tailscale was having some pretty shaky uptime. They use SQLite as the primary database for their control plane shards, and they chose it because it is boring technology in the best way possible. It's supposed to be rock solid, but they started getting these automated alerts saying their database backups were corrupted.
And not just once, they faced 19 separate instances of database corruption over 6 months. And the worst part about these kinds of bugs is that they had no reliable trigger conditions. It wasn't tied to a specific time of day, a specific load level, or a specific customer. It would happen, they would fix the corruption to get the control plane back online, and then they would just have to wait in the dark for it to happen again.
Right, and they spent months tearing their hair out. They reviewed all their low-level code, deployed forensic telemetry, and eventually they did something that the Hacker News comments absolutely loved. They reached out to the SQLite core developers and actually paid for a professional support contract.
Exactly. A user named Simon W. pointed this out in the comments, saying it is a really interesting example of company funding open source by paying for the development of a specific debugging tool. Tailscale and the SQLite team worked together, and Tailscale built a transaction logging pipeline. Because SQLite is a single-writer database, the transactions are completely linear. But when they tried to replay the logs, they found that data written and committed by one transaction was just inexplicably invisible to later transactions. A write had literally vanished into thin air.
Which should be impossible. It turned out to be a race condition in how the write-ahead log, or wall, was being reset during manual checkpoints. What I loved about the Hacker News discussion is how much goodwill this build for Tailscale. A user named Buggy McBugfix mentioned that Tailscale not only funds open source like this, but they also allow users to host their own control plane via Headscale, which is actually developed by a Tailscale engineer in their free time. It just builds so much trust.
It really does. Though there was a funny tangent in the comments about Tailscale locking you into single sign-on providers like GitHub or Apple. Some people really just want a traditional username and password. But as another commenter pointed out, being an identity provider is an absolute nightmare for security and support, so it makes total sense why Tailscale avoids it. Still, just a masterclass in transparency and engineering blogging from them.
Absolutely. All right, let us shift gears to something a bit more philosophical. The third highest post yesterday was a blog post by Florian Herringack titled, AI is removing the middle class of software engineering. This one got almost 800 points and sparked a massive debate.
Oh man, this piece hits so close to home for a lot of people. Florian sets up this hypothetical scenario. It is 2020, you are a senior engineer, you go on vacation, and you come back to a slightly messy code base because your team merged some sloppy pull requests. Annoying, but fixable. Then he fast forwards to 2026. You open your laptop on a Monday morning and you have 7 pull requests to review. And the first one is 25,000 lines of code, accompanied by an AI-generated description.
That image is terrifying. Florian argues that AI has removed the speed limit on bad engineering. Before, if a developer lacked deep architectural knowledge, they could only do so much damage in a week because writing code takes time. Now they can prompt an agent for a few hours and generate a massive convoluted system with Kafka and serverless microservices that they do not actually understand themselves.
Right. And when you ask them how the data flows, they just send you a link to a Claude conversation where the AI hallucinated an architecture, apologized, changed its mind 3 times, and finally spit out the code. Florian calls it buying a luxury car on a credit card. You don't see the technical debt. You just see the shiny feature that technically works. But when a bug pops up, nobody knows how to fix it because nobody actually built it.
The comments on this were so insightful. A user named Syntaf said that bad engineers can now amplify their bad engineering 10 times across the organization. And they pointed out that AI is only as good as the abstractions and contracts you put in place for it. But it led to this huge discussion about the learn-to-code movement from the 2010s.
Yeah. A user named Overgard argued that the bootcamp craze brought in a lot of people who were just looking for a paycheck, rather than having a deep implicit interest in how computers work. And because our industry lacks a strong apprenticeship culture, we now have seniors who can barely reason about complex systems. They brought up the old debate about the 10x engineer, saying the real problem today is that we have a lot of 0.1x engineers, and AI is just giving them a megaphone.
It is a harsh assessment, but it makes you think about the value of good senior engineers. Florian makes the point that implementation is cheap now. You are not paid to turn a spec into code anymore. You are paid to make good decisions, to manage complexity, and to evaluate the AI output. If you lack the judgment to evaluate the model, asking the model for more judgment does not solve the problem.
Exactly. And that is why he thinks salaries will push further apart. The people who truly understand systems will become incredibly valuable because they can use AI to move at light speed without needing a huge team. Meanwhile, the people who just rely on the AI to do the thinking will be priced out. There was even a whole tangent in the comments about whether software engineering should require a license, like being a doctor or a lawyer, which brought out the Milton Friedman quotes and debates about gatekeeping versus consumer protection. Just classic hacker news.
Classic indeed. Speaking of legal debates in consumer protection, let us talk about the post from Andrew Wheeler titled, "License Plate Reader Searches Should Require a Warrant." This one got over 500 points.
This is a really important topic. Wheeler is a criminologist and data scientist who works with police departments. He argues that automated license plate readers, or ALPRs, have gotten so cheap, usually under $3,000 a camera, that they are going to be ubiquitous very soon. And while he thinks cameras can be good for solving crimes, he draws a hard line on how the data is used.
Right. He makes a clear distinction between active flags and historical searches. If a camera flags a stolen car driving past it in real time, that's one thing. But police departments are caching this data for 30 days or more, allowing them to type in your license plate and see everywhere you have been over the past month, where you sleep, where you work, who you visit.
And Wheeler points out that under current case law, specifically Carpenter versus U.S., which dealt with cell phone location data, tracking the whole of a person's movements is considered a search and requires a warrant. He argues it is only a matter of time before the courts apply this to ALPR data. But right now, the status quo is a mess. Some states mandate data deletion after a few weeks, arguing it prevents abuse. But Wheeler says deleting data does not stop a bad actor from just querying the system every 20 days to stalk someone. All it does is hurt legitimate long-term investigations.
The Hacker News comments really zoomed out on the terminology here. A user named Malrar said it frustrates them when people call these things license plate readers. They are general-purpose, internet-connected surveillance cameras. They do whatever their firmware tells them to do. Calling them license plate readers is just useful messaging to disarm the public, making it sound less alarming than automated government mass surveillance tracking your every move.
That is a great point. Another commenter compared it to doorbell cameras joining mass surveillance networks. Nobody expected Ring cameras to be used by police departments nationwide when they first bought them, but here we are. Though someone else pushed back, saying smartphones are far more powerful surveillance devices that we all carry voluntarily. But the counterargument there is that you can leave your phone at home. You cannot opt out of a panopticon of video cameras on every street corner.
It is a tricky balance. Wheeler just wants states to mandate warrant procedures through state statutes now, rather than waiting for the Supreme Court to catch up. It seems like a reasonable middle ground that lets police use the tech for serious crimes while protecting basic privacy.
All right, we cannot finish an episode in 2026 without talking about the latest AI model drops. And yesterday, we had two massive ones. First up, DeepSeek V4 Pro 813.
Yes, and this post was hilarious because the link submitted to Hacker News actually just went to OpenRouter, which is an API aggregator. DeepSeek apparently released this incredible new model and did not bother to make a blog post, a launch page, or even send out a tweet.
Classic DeepSeek. The community was scrambling trying to find an official source, but despite the silent launch, the model is making waves. Someone in the comments mentioned running it hard on a traffic simulator and distributed physics engine all day, getting a 50% cache hit rate and finding significant gains.
Though that sparked a debate about OpenRouter itself. Some users were complaining about the OpenRouter tax, where if the service routes your request to a different provider behind the scenes, you lose your prompt cache and get billed for the full context input again. But for DeepSeek V4 Pro, DeepSeek is currently the only provider on OpenRouter anyway, so that shouldn't be an issue right now. It is wild how cheap prompt caching has made these massive context windows.
It really is. And if DeepSeek was not enough, Qwen also dropped an absolute monster of a model yesterday, Qwen 3.8-2.4T.
2.4 trillion parameters. That is just staggering.
It is huge. It has 95 billion active parameters in its mixture of experts architecture. It is designed to be a direct rival to Kimi K3. The benchmarks look incredible, trading blows with Opus 4.8 and GPT 5.6 Sol. They are touting huge improvements in coding, professional work, and long horizon agentic tasks.
What caught my eye is the new reasoning effort parameter. You can now tell the model how hard to think before answering. You can set it to X high for complex tasks, medium for a balance, or low to optimize for speed and cost. Plus, they enable preserve thinking by default, so it retains reasoning context from historical messages.
The local AI community is already all over this. Even though it is a massive model, the folks at Unsloth, specifically Daniel Han, who is basically a legend in the local model scene at this point, already have quantization guides up. They use different bits for different layers to squeeze these models down so they can actually run on consumer hardware.
There was some debate in the comments about the reliability of different quants, but generally, people are just amazed at the pace. And Qwen announced they are dropping a 27 billion parameter version of 3.8 on Friday, which is going to be the real sweet spot for local inference. The jump from 3.7 to 3.8 max shows a lot of improvement, so the local community is very hyped for the weekend.
It is just nonstop. We are sitting here talking about 2.4 trillion parameter open weights models like it is just another Wednesday. The pace of this industry right now is breathtaking. And honestly, tying it back to our earlier story, it really reinforces Florian's point. The tools are getting so powerful, so fast, that the human judgment required to wield them responsibly is becoming the most valuable skill you can have.
Perfectly said, Mike. And that is going to do it for us today on HN Pod. Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 486. If you want to read more about any of the stories we discussed today, check out the front page of Hacker News.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and discussions. Until then, keep your pull requests small and maybe double-check your database backups. Have a great day, everyone.